The Winter Olympics begin this Friday in Beijing. Multiple countries, including the U.S., are taking part in a diplomatic boycott of the Beijing Games, citing China's human rights abuses. Some in the sports world have criticized the decision to hold the Olympics in Beijing in the first place. Here's longtime sports broadcaster Bob Costas.
The IOC deserves all of the disdain and disgust that comes their way for going back to China yet again. They were in Beijing in 2008. They go to Sochi in 2014. They're shameless about this stuff.
We're talking about political controversies surrounding the upcoming Beijing Olympics, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you a fan of the Olympics, the sports themselves? Do you pay attention to the controversies surrounding the games? Does it bother you that the Winter Olympics are being held in China, which has a history of human rights abuses, including ongoing detention of Muslims? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Jules Boykoff is a professor and chair of politics and government at Pacific University. He's the author of four books about politics and the Olympics, most recently, No Olympians. Boykoff also played soccer for the U.S. men's national team. And at UW-Madison, he was born and raised in Madison and inducted into the Wisconsin Soccer Hall of Fame in 2019. Jules, welcome back to Wisconsin.
Hey, thanks a lot. Good to be with you.
Well, we just heard sportscaster Bob Costas, mainstream figure in the sports world, criticizing the International Olympic Committee. Before we get into the decision to have the games in China, can you talk about the role that the IOC, the committee, plays?
Sure. The International Olympic Committee is the Lausanne-based group in Switzerland that decides who will host the Olympic Games. And back in 2015, they voted to have Beijing host the Olympics, even though they knew at the time that Beijing was a massive human rights violator. You mentioned the atrocities that are happening in Xinjiang province against Uyghur Muslims and other Turkic Muslims. There's also the ongoing human rights violations against Tibetans, not to mention against Hong Kong democracy activists in recent years. And so that's exactly why Bob Costas commented that the International Olympic Committee is shameless, because they're the ones who knew all the while and yet decided to hand the Olympics to Beijing anyways.
You've written a lot about countries not necessarily wanting to host the Olympics anymore, and a lot of local opposition in places like Los Angeles and Tokyo and elsewhere. Is the IOC running out of places that are going to be willing hosts in the way that they want?
Well, actually, looking at how Beijing got the Olympics here that start on Friday is a good place to start, because there were numerous cities that were in the bidding for the 2015 winter, or in 2015 for these 2022 games, but they dropped out one after the other. This was during a time period between 2013 and 2018, when around a dozen different cities that were thinking about hosting the Olympics decided against it, either because they had a public referendum where everyday working people got to weigh in to decide whether they wanted to host the Olympics and they said no, or there was the threat of a referendum that people knew they would lose and so they decided to cancel their bid. Or in the case of Rome, there was a mayor who was elected, Virginia Raggi, on an anti-Olympics platform. So there's no question that the world is starting to understand that while the athletes are absolutely amazing and the Olympians are what they make the Olympics special, there's also a number of downsides that come along with hosting the Olympics, including overspending, including gentrification and forced displacement of local populations, including the militarization of public space in order to protect the Olympic spectacle, as well as greenwashing, talking a big environmental game but not following through. And for those reasons, numerous cities dropped out of the bidding, leaving only Beijing and Almaty, Kazakhstan, neither of them exactly bastions of democracy. In the end, the IOC went with Beijing, since that's the entity that they knew. They had previously hosted the 2008 Summer Games.
We have the U.S. and other countries having this diplomatic boycott of the Games. So still sending the athletic delegations, but not the diplomats who'd usually come in their wake. Do you see that as a meaningful protest?
Well, it's meaningful in the sense that they are trying to shine a spotlight on these human rights violations that we were just talking about. And so there's meaning definitely in that. There were some groups, including athlete groups, that were pushing for an athlete boycott of these Olympics, but the Biden administration chose not to do that. The goal overall of the Biden administration's diplomatic boycott is certainly to try to raise up the specter of sport washing. So sports washing is one of those terms that we're hearing more and more in the sports world. And that's when an unsavory regime uses a sports mega event like the Olympics or the Soccer World Cup, for example, to try to launder their reputation on the international stage, because these Olympic Games will come with plenty of grin and grip photo opportunities for leaders to look legitimate on the world stage. And so that's really why the Biden administration kind of made this move. They did not do a full athlete boycott, I think in part because of the sour taste that is still in a lot of people's mouths in the United States and elsewhere over the athlete boycotts of the Moscow Olympics in the 1980s, where numerous Olympians now have an asterisk after their names. And they've been quite vociferous about how that really hurt them in the long run. So Biden is not sending diplomats, but the athletes will be there in full force.
Talking to Jules Boykoff, professor and chair of politics and government at Pacific University, author of four books about politics and the Olympics, looking at the opening of the games coming up in China. You can join in with your thoughts, your questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Jules, it seems like every time an Olympics comes along, there's sort of a yearning for the good old days when there wasn't all these politics in the Olympics. Did those good old days ever exist?
Well, hey, it's not just because I'm a political scientist that I'm going to say this, but no, from the very beginning, the Olympics have been political, all the way back to the 1890s, when a plucky baron from France, Baron Pierre de Coubertin, began the Olympics. He leaned on political plenipotentiaries, powerful people at that time, to create the Olympics in the first place. And the Olympics are to this day, through and through. I mean, this is one of the riding hypocrisies. The International Olympic Committee, which oversees the games, likes to say that it's apolitical and neutral, but that's just ridiculous. And in fact, their own actions contradict it. I mean, not even just 4 years ago, when Pyeongchang was hosting the Winter Olympics in 2018, the International Olympic Committee took credit for convincing political leaders from North and South Korea to create a unified hockey team to compete under one flag at those very Olympics. And so there's just numerous examples of the International Olympic Committee engaging in politics. Think about it this way. If the Olympics weren't political, then they probably wouldn't have them marching in by country, thereby stoking political nationalism. I mean, they could have all the bobsledders from around the world come in together at the opening ceremonies. But instead, the very way that the Olympics are organized actually encourages us to think about politics. Now, for me, that's not a bad thing. I think we just need to acknowledge reality that the Olympics are political and treat it as such. And just the fact that the International Olympic Committee clings to this ridiculous idea that the Olympics aren't political says a whole lot more about the organization than it does the politics that surround us.
You appreciate the athletes. You're an athlete yourself. Is there a better way to do this? Could the Olympics be reinvented or replaced with something that, I don't know, wouldn't lead to all these questions of corruption and supporting human rights abusers around the world?
There's no question about it that the Olympics could be done in a much better way that benefit the actual athletes, not to mention the host cities that put out a lot of money to host these Olympic Games. Let me just say one important study that came out recently that I think will provide some important context for us. Olympians don't actually make very much money from the Olympic Games. There was this study that compared Olympic athletes to other athletes from sports leagues like the National Basketball Association or the National Hockey League or the English Premier League of soccer or football. And they found that in those other leagues, athletes who participate in them get between 45 and 60% of the revenues from those leagues. In the Olympics, it's only 4.1% of the revenues. That's what goes into the pockets of Olympic athletes. And that's indirectly. Directly, only 0.5% of the money that flows through the Olympic system goes into the pockets of these amazing and hardworking athletes. So yes, absolutely, these games could be reorganized for starters to try to reward the people that actually make the Olympics what they are. And maybe to think about getting rid of this group, the International Olympic Committee, which has handed over the Olympics, not just to Beijing recently, but also to Sochi, Russia, where they had anti-LGBTQ laws in place ahead of the Olympics that very much clashed with the spirit in the Olympic Charter itself. So yes, there's much to be done on the reform front when it comes to the Olympic Games.
You have concern even when the games aren't held in a place like China or in Russia, even in the U.S. and Japan, you see a lot of negative outcomes there too. What kind of things do you worry, even if, we had one in Chicago and could drive down from Wisconsin?
You know, this is such a key point, and I'm really glad that you mentioned it, because a key point that's often lost in criticism of the International Olympic Committee's tolerance of tyranny is that by hosting the Olympics, democracies actually become more authoritarian. The historical record is absolutely clear that staging the Olympics in places like Beijing and Sochi don't help the cause of democracy and human rights, but neither does hosting the games in Los Angeles or Paris, the two upcoming Summer Olympics. I just wrote this book on what's happening in Los Angeles, and a lot of people lean on the myths around the 1984 games there, which a lot of folks consider to be a success simply because they didn't hemorrhage money like all these other Olympics do, hemorrhage public money. But reality is a little bit different when you start talking to people in Los Angeles about their feelings around the games. It's very racialized, the remembrances of those Olympic games. In other words, if you're an affluent white person from Los Angeles, you're probably going to have positive memories about the 1984 games, and you're probably going to support the 2028 upcoming Summer Games. But the people who are African-American, Latinx, who I spoke with in Los Angeles had very different memories of those 1984 games. Their communities were intensely policed during the Olympics, and a lot of the special weapons that were purchased for the Olympic policing then went to the Los Angeles Police Department, and they turned around and used them on those very racialized communities. So it's a mixed bag for sure, these Olympic Games in Western democracies. In fact, there's some serious endemic downsides that I mentioned before, and more people are becoming aware of this, and that's why fewer and fewer cities are game to host the Olympic Games.
We're talking to Jules Boykoff, author of No Olympians and three other books on the politics of the Olympics, now with Pacific University. You can join in at 800-642-1234 as we talk about the politics of the Olympics in anticipation of the Winter Games, kicking off officially in Beijing this Friday. Are you going to watch? Do you think it was a mistake to award the games to China? Where would you like to see them held? Do you want to see them held in a city near you? Do you worry about the impact of these games in supporting governments like China's? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with former Olympian and author of four books on the Olympics, Jules Boykoff. We're talking about the Beijing Olympics. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are these Olympics on your mind? Are you planning to watch? Do you worry about the overlap between politics and the Olympics? Do you dislike the decision to have the games in China, that decision by the International Olympic Committee? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas at WPR.org. Matt emailed, "Unbelievable that we're even having this discussion. There is ongoing genocide going on in China. Unreal, we've become so detached from the realities today that instead of widespread condemnation, we have thoughtless ignorance." Thanks for sending that in, Matt. Jules, when it comes to the media and how the media covers these Olympics, are you hoping that can shine a light on what Matt sees as thoughtless ignorance?
There are a lot of people that share Matt's sentiments when it comes to these Olympic Games, and it's going to be really interesting to see how NBC negotiates this situation. As your listeners will know, NBC broadcasts the Olympics in the United States, and they fancy themselves as a news organization. And if you're a news organization, one might think you'd want to provide the wider political and historical context around these Olympic Games, including those atrocities that Matt mentioned there. And we'll have to see if they do that. They have said that they might do that. But, you know, the corporate sponsors of the Olympic Games that fork over millions of dollars to become corporate sponsors, they've been conspicuously silent in this moment. They have not spoken out, even though pretty much every one of them has human rights provisions built into the way they do business. And yet they've been totally quiet. They're not having campaigns in the United States. Coca-Cola, for example, a big Olympic sponsor, is only doing their campaign in China. And they're basically having a low profile here in the United States. And so, yes, I think he's raising really important points that need to be considered here. Hopefully NBC will actually consider them.
Matt, thanks for emailing in. You wrote in a recent piece, I think it was in the Guardian, Jules, about the China Olympics. You are also concerned that there might be sort of a performative saber rattling going on, an escalation of tensions between the U.S. and China that you also worry won't be that productive as it relates to the Olympics. What do you worry about?
No question about it. The Beijing Olympics are about a lot more than just the Olympics. And that U.S. diplomatic boycott that you and I were talking about moments ago is arriving amid escalating tensions between China and the United States. In the United States here, we have politicians on both sides of the political aisle that say all manner of things about China. And this feeds, I think, oversimple narratives that tend to contrast a freedom-loving USA against some kind of diabolical Chinese state when reality is much more complicated. And actually, China's come back at the United States and said things like, oh, you're really one to talk about human rights. I mean, look at the fact that you have kids in cages. Look at the fact that you have these military bases encircling the world, some 750 military bases, and not to mention the unquestioning support for Israel, a country that Human Rights Watch recently described as carrying out crimes against humanity of apartheid and persecution against Palestinians. You know, I live on the West Coast where homelessness is basically a humanitarian crisis in plain sight. And so when Biden waggles a finger at China, there's been actually quite a bit of pushback, not just from China, but from other countries that view it as hypocritical as well. And it's been really interesting to see, Rob, how few countries have actually jumped on to this boycott that the Biden administration is leading on the diplomatic front. Just a handful of allies like Canada, Australia, Britain, but really most other countries are kind of trying to stay away from it. They understand China's rising power and the geopolitical system. And also the fact that the United States, you know, we have our problems with democracy here in the United States. Look at the polls that are coming out day in and day out. People in our country are extraordinarily concerned about the direction of democracy. And so the Beijing Olympics arrive at this really key time of tiresome and tired relations between China and the United States.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Jeremy is with us in Racine. Jeremy, hi.
Hi, I'm not a really big fan of China, never really was. But I've never heard of any genocide that they're conducting. So I'm not exactly sure where that came from. If you can elaborate on any genocide act that they're conducting. I know they have internment camps. Can you elaborate more on that? Mostly, I believe the reason why we're doing this, they're using human rights as a launching pad. But there's a lot of geopolitical actors are going on right now in Southeast Asia with Australia, Japan, the Philippines. So China is exerting itself out there and it's starting to put pressure on those allies of ours. So that's probably more of what's really going on in regards to the boycott than genocide. I never heard anything about genocide.
Jeremy, thanks for the call. Jules, I know there's arguments about what constitutes genocide. Whatever's going on is pretty bad, though, when it comes to the Uyghurs and other Muslim groups in the area.
Yeah, I mean, China has been accused by the United States of committing genocide. The State Department has said that's what's going on. If you talk to groups like Human Rights Watch and Amnesty International, who are monitoring mega events like the Olympics and the World Cup of soccer, they will tell you that there are crimes against humanity that are happening in China against the Muslim minority groups in Xinjiang province, for example. And so the crimes against humanity term, which is rooted in the International Criminal Court Rome Statute, it's an actual analytical and legal term. That is what usually you hear. And it's interesting to hear the comments about the possibility of genocide, because on one hand, people use the term because they're really trying to raise the stakes and show how important it is. On the other hand, it can really turn people's minds off because they hear about genocide and they wonder if it's actually merited. The fact of the matter is people are being massively mistreated in Xinjiang province, living in basically high-tech surveillance bubbles, not to mention being detained for long periods of time and having to succumb to torture and even other awful things that happen to people. So however you slice it and dice it, it's not pretty. And what you're seeing as we speak right now definitely clashes with the spirit of the Olympic Charter that lifts up ideas about human dignity and even mentions human rights at one point in the charter as well.
Thanks for the call, Jeremy. Jeremy also sees this maybe as, he says, human rights is a fig leaf to cover what's actually international power confrontation here between the U.S. and its allies and China.
And I think that's a totally fair point that Jeremy is raising there, because the games are about much more than just the Olympic Games. There's an ongoing power battle that's happening as we speak. China has rolled out this Belt and Road Initiative that some of your listeners might have been hearing about in the news, which basically is a way of helping countries around the world develop. There's been a lot of media coverage of how they've done this in sub-Saharan Africa, but they're also doing it, China is, in places like Italy and Greece and Turkey, supplying money and funding for these countries to develop their ports, their railways, and so on. And with that has come a lot of goodwill. I mean, prior to that, it was their options in these various countries were often the World Bank and the IMF, as led by the United States. And they really weren't working, actually. And so a lot of people were disgruntled with that and perfectly happy to have another option. China's providing another option for the world right now. And I think we do well to view these Olympics through that wider lens.
In our last couple of minutes, Jules, are you were an athlete. Are you able to watch an Olympic sport and still enjoy it, knowing everything that's going on behind the curtains there?
You know, I do still cheer for certain athletes who are participating in the Olympics. I was not an Olympian myself. I did not participate in the actual Olympics, although I had the good fortune, as you mentioned, of playing for the U.S. national team, the under 23 team. And so I do know a little something about committing your life to high level sport. I will cheer on some athletes. I'm lucky that a lot of athletes reach out to me after maybe they read something that I wrote and want to talk behind the scenes. And I've done interviews with athletes and included their words in my essays that I write, for sure, including a couple that are coming out later this week. So I think that athletes deserve our respect and they deserve our consideration during these Olympics. We need not devote ourselves to the death of complexity. We can both cheer on these amazing Olympians and at the same time level serious critiques against the Olympic machine, because the Olympic machine definitely deserves some critical thinking around it.
Jules, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Jules Boykoff is a professor and chair of politics and government at Pacific University. He's the author of 4 books about politics and the Olympics, most recently, No Olympians. We looked at controversies surrounding the upcoming Winter Olympics in Beijing.